This episode of Storyworthy is sponsored by Story02 Software from Jungle. Listen, Story02 is fantastic. It's a way to outline and define your story. Whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, an essay, a screenplay, a novel, Story02 Software will help you get that story out there with a beginning, middle, and end. And we always say that's what you need for a good story, an end. There are customizable story paradigms, character image packets, and the ability to import and export final drafts. So head over to junglesoftware.com and check out Story02 and enter the coupon code STORYWORTHY, all one word, to receive 10% off. Story02 by Jungle Software. There's nothing out there like it to tell your story. Your story!
Hey, it's Robin Anton, creator of the Pussycat Dolls, and you are listening to Storyworthy, and I am here to teach Christine and Hannes some Pussycat Dolls moves. Get ready.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, coming to you from Pure Nightclub at Caesar's Palace on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yes, I love Las Vegas. You know I do.
I know that you do. I like Las Vegas more than I used to.
Yeah.
I didn't. Sherry, my fiance, has invited me to go to Vegas. And we've gone to Vegas several times, and actually I did have a good time, because I'm not a gambler, and I'm not a drinker, so that seemed like that really would limit my entertainment value in Vegas. But you know what? I'm like such a wuss. I enjoy the penny slots.
Yeah,
you heard me.
Well, they say time. Like the best day in Vegas is the day you get there, and the second best day is the day you leave, you know? Yeah. Because it's just a hot mess of tremendous fun.
It is, but it's just so, what I didn't like at first and then grew to appreciate was the sheer fakeness of it.
Yeah.
Just like walking on the street, looking at a fake New York, fake pyramid.
The Eiffel Tower.
My favorite is the, the Excalibur.
Yeah.
The like horrifyingly bad castle.
Or the Luxor, the pyramid.
Pyramid.
It's like a movie. You're walking through a movie studio lot.
Yeah. But it's like, but as with like movie studio or TV sets, when you see them in real life, does not hold up.
Well, I don't know. I mean, people are look at those beautiful dancing fountains, you know?
No, fountains, actually. See, that's when they started to go like,
it's so contrived, and they put the music underneath, and, you know, this is how you're supposed to feel. And,
right,
you know, I'm going to propose to my, if somebody proposed to me in front of a fucking dancing fountain, they would get a no. That's
listen,
all I'm saying.
If the dancing fountains are good enough for Danny Ocean and his 11, then they're good enough for you. You understand?
Hey, listen, I love Vegas. I told you that right at the top.
Yes.
And we are here tonight because our guest, Robin Anton, the first choreographer we've ever had on the show, Hannes.
That's true. We tried to get Bob Fosse, and it turned out he was dead.
Hey, you know what's
so
interesting?
That's where
I was
it all
reading
fell
about
apart.
Robin, and she loved Bob Fosse. He was actually one of her big inspirations.
All choreographies love Bob Fosse.
Well,
if
I
you show me a choreographer who doesn't love Bob Fosse, I'm going to punch him right in the face. Bob Fosse is such a great choreographer that people who have no idea what the word choreography means.
Yeah.
Know who Bob Fosse is.
Because they picture Robin Williams. Remember when he did that bit and he says, Fosse, Fosse, Fosse.
Fosse, Fosse. Right, with the hat. You always got to have the hat. You turn down the hat, you put out the jazz hands, and you pick your leg up
people.
A little bit, you know,
lights,
and there's a little bit of crazy, and there's
sequence.
Somebody tight. I saw I don't know where this came out of nowhere, but it just reminded me when I saw Chicago on stage, on Broadway.
Oh,
you heard me,
beautiful.
On Broadway,
yeah.
Starring Bebe Neuwirth, who played Lilith on Frasier and on Cheers.
Yes.
But comes from musical theater, and she was wearing this outfit. It's like slit up to there, as they say. I mean, she was
beautiful.
Great.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you have no fat on your body.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Well,
it's
dancers, that's a dancer.
You would think that, but then you make me think of when I saw, what's the one with the plump girl? Baltimore. Oh, my God. What's the name of that movie?
Are you talking about an opera?
Hairspray.
Oh,
Hairspray.
Okay.
I saw that at the Pantages. And the plot is that there's this plump girl who becomes a dancer on a TV show. So the actress has to be big, which is great that she has that opportunity. But I'm looking at this fat actress and thinking, how do you do this 8 days a week? Eight performances a week. She still weighed 250 pounds.
No, that's
how
very
is that
interesting.
Even possible?
No, that's very interesting. She's obviously taking in a lot of calories.
She would have
could
to
also
be eating during the show.
But it could also be her physical makeup.
Physical makeup is definitely.
We have this friend, a mutual friend of ours, on Facebook, and his son is just, you know, he's. Under, he's like maybe 18 months old, but this is like the biggest child I've ever seen in my life. Now, are his parents overfeeding him? I doubt it. Do you know what I mean? I think it's sometimes it's just the makeup of the person.
Well, yeah, some of it's totally genetic. And I'm she's a big girl. That's her genetics. Fine. I'm a big guy. That's my genetics. But if I were dancing, she's in every minute of the show, and she was great, by the way. How you don't lose weight? It was like you're right. She must be backstage with a sausage machine. Because you have to try not to lose weight to do a 3-hour show, 8 performances a week, and not lose weight. That's unbelievable.
Well, listen, good for her. I mean, she's keeping the
role.
No, meanwhile,
she's working, yeah.
Absolutely.
But, so Fosse, that's what it's important, Fosse.
Okay, so Robin Anton, and here's the thing, Hannes. She's a choreographer. She founded the Pussycat Dolls, which was like in the 90s at the Whiskey. That was like... Wait, is it the Whiskey or the... No, it wasn't the Whiskey.
The Viper Room.
Yes. In the 90s at the Viper Room, Pussycat Dolls were it. They were it. And she took so many people and turned them into Pussycat Dolls. And I want to ask her about... Because some of these women that
Christine is wondering... I mean, she'll later. It's like, can you turn Christine into a Pussycat Doll?
No, I don't think you can because I'm so plain. Listen, when I go to the pool with my daughter, you know my bathing suit? I have the conservative Speedo tank. Do you know what I mean? I wear like a mom suit.
The tankini?
Do you know what I mean?
It's
and
called
now
a tankini.
That I'm 50, I just feel like I have a hard time even trying to... Like, I've just never had that consciousness of confidence to have that kind of sexiness. So my point is that she's had these women as Pussycat Dolls, right? Kim Kardashian and Scarlett Johansson and Charlize Theron and Gwen Stefani. But is that a stretch? Is that a stretch to make
it
those
It is with
girls?
Gwen Stefani. Have you ever really looked at her?
Oh, come
I'm so mean.
You're mean.
I'm
she,
so
the talent out of her.
No, it's
her
like the E! Network
ability,
in here. I'm such a bitch.
Her musical ability would lend itself to being a good dancer.
Well,
that's
this
all.
Is the thing. I know that you could, and I'm not trying to, be all complimentary. You could.
No, be
you
all
you're
complimentary
good looking.
And you never fucking are.
But makeup and costumes are amazing.
Lighting.
So they could make and lighting.
Lighting.
They can make you look. Amazing. You look good. They could make you look amazing.
I want to do that.
That's not my question as to whether you could look like a Pussycat Doll, because you could look like a Pussycat Doll. Could you move? And this is the tough question, because you have no dance training whatsoever, right?
No, I have no dance, no.
And
my dance training is taking my daughter to ballet. She's 7. So I'm picking that up.
Yeah.
I'm picking it up.
Oh, you're picking it up that way. Yeah, I think the dancing would be the hard part.
But
in the old days, in the movies, they would have like a person who couldn't dance, and they would step out and do 3 steps to the right, and 45 people would dance behind them, and then everybody does jazz hands, and you're like, God!
Well, that's the idea of Dancing with the Stars, of course, is that there's a professional and then a star, as it were.
Yeah, I don't know what the idea of Dancing with the Stars is. I can't get into that.
I don't
I've
follow
tried to
it
watch
myself,
it, and
but
it's like,
I do
I
think
can't,
it no. would be a blast to be chosen to do that show, because you would learn, they work out 8, 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
I mean, they work hard, and they get it together, and that would be fascinating. I mean, to do.
Yeah,
to watch
see,
it,
I
I'm not that thrilled.
Yeah, I have no musical ability or rhythm whatsoever, so I would be one of those guys where it's like Jeffrey Ross, where they're like, oh, we're basically pick this guy so we can just make fun of this guy because he's going to suck ass.
All right. Come on. We have a beautiful guest here, Robin Anton. She's going to walk
out
of the room.
Be fantastic.
She'd be offended. Listen to you.
What? That I said Jeffrey Ross couldn't dance?
Well,
I think we all are aware that Jeffrey Ross cannot dance. You know what? Look, she can make Jesus walk on water. She can't make Jeffrey Ross dance. Come on.
Here's an example of why I don't think I could be a Pussycat Doll.
Okay.
Every year at Halloween, do I ever try to be sexy nurse, sexy cave woman, sexy construction worker, sexy Indian? Do I ever try to go the
you
sexy
don't,
route?
You don't go that route.
I always go horror with blood in my face and like dirt in my hair. Do you know what I mean? That's like my inner, that's who I am. Like, I don't know if I could. That's my point, is the confidence involved. I don't think I could pull that off. Maybe if somebody told me I had a backstory and gave me a character.
Yeah,
I could
slutty
like
character.
I could turn into that.
Well, you did. You did play Pretty Cave Woman in a movie with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, I was attractive cave woman.
You were attractive cave woman.
But I still had mud on my face and blacked out teeth. I mean, it was part of being attractive as a cave woman.
Well, that's what Ricky Gervais likes. He's a freak.
Here's the thing, you guys. Robin Anton. Here's the thing with Robin. She kind of does it all, Hannes. I was looking earlier at
She's one of those super hyphen people.
Yeah, super hyphen person. There's a lot of things after her name, letters, a lot of different websites.
She has three PhDs. Did you know that?
I was thinking
about
this.
She is a dancer, choreographer, actress, and clothing design entrepreneur.
There's a quote by Michael Jordan, and it says something about, there are those who think about making it happen, and those who talk about making it happen, and then there are those that make it happen. And that's who I think is sitting here with us right now. She makes it happen.
She's the Michael Jordan of burlesque?
She's exactly. And can she get him to dance? And what kind of tutu would that look like?
No, you're forgetting back in the 80s and 90s, the basketball players wore shorts that were so small. It was basically like a tutu.
I'm talking about when they pull it behind you really tight. A corset. A corset. Corset. That's what I need in my life. I need a corset.
Don't we all need corsets? I need a corset.
All right, you guys. Before Robin...
You know what they said about Ginger Rogers? No, you were just making me think because they used to dance. Like, not only did those girls have to dress up in 8-inch heels and sexy outfits, but they had to dance while they're wearing that.
Right. And then
Fred Astaire, right. And Ginger Rogers did everything he did backwards and in high heels.
And he got all the credit.
Yeah, what an asshole, Fred Astaire.
All right, you guys, Robin Anton,
prick.
She's up in a second. But I wanted to mention, folks, if you want to support the Story Worthy podcast, that would be great. Hannes, tell them what to do.
First, we want you to send us a dancing video because we're going to put together our own show, people telling stories while dancing.
While
we
dancing.
Think that
so
would
there's,
be
it's a, yes.
Awesome. Too so far. My mom got cancer. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And they're tap dancing. It's like, oh, this is fantastic. Oh, this is great. No,
I
we
was
want you to go.
Driving and I got in an accident.
Hey, want to hear my virginity story? Ba 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 ba. All right. No, you want to go on the Patreon ad and click on it and consider giving us $10 a month, $5 a month, $2 a month. What are you going to do with $2 a month, you cheap bastard? Give it to us.
Please do not yell at our audience, Hannes. I insist that you be kind because these are the people listening to us. And
I know,
they listen
but if they know
on
I'm an
Stitcher,
asshole.
They listen on iTunes, they listen on Swell and on SoundCloud, and they can listen to us on Patreon itself.
Yes, they can. And seriously, the show doesn't come out of nowhere. There's money going in. There's no money coming out. We don't need money coming out. We just need the level. We need the level to be the same.
That's right.
So help us keep the level the same.
Also, folks, go ahead and follow us on Twitter. We would enjoy that at Storyworthy.
That's where the money is.
That's right.
Twitter.
Do you ever see when somebody puts like in their resume, they put like official writer on Twitter? It's like, no, you're not. You're just a knucklehead, you know?
Yeah,
you're
my special skills. I walk down the street.
Yeah.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah, standards transmission, automatic transmission, you know? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I once rented an elderly horse and rode it through Griffith Park. And I didn't even tell the horse where to go. It went to the end of the trail and came back. I was like a sack of wheat on his back. I put on my resume, horseback riding as a special skill.
I'm an excellent inline roller skater.
Oh, very good.
No, rollerblading, no.
If only it was 1995 and they were still making videos with rollerblading, you'd be all set.
All right, you guys, hang tight because Robin Anton is on her way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have comedian and host Suzanne Wong.
And I'll be talking about my left tit.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hey, it's Lee Keckner, and you're listening to Storyworthy. We're so happy you're here.
And we're back. We've gone a bit of across the street. We're now at the Pussycat Casino, which is near the Pure Nightclub. And let me tell you something. The dollar slots here...
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they're paying out is what they're doing.
They're paying out.
Ching,
they're
ching,
slutty.
Ching,
they're
ching.
The loosest slots in town, which is the filthiest thing I can put. Like, that's all you see in Vegas and Nevada. It's like, we've got the loosest slots in town. Well, you should see a doctor.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with you if your slots are so loose.
I don't like when you're out on the street in Vegas and those people are just handing you, you know, the brochures with the naked lady to your room now. Come, you know, naked lady coming at you.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you're walking with maybe, you know, your mom or somebody who's
it's
older.
It's 10 a.m. It's 100 degrees.
Yeah, could you just give it a rest?
Your pupils are dilated because it's the brightest place in the world.
Look at who you're giving this piece of paper to. Right.
Right.
Don't worry about the language barrier. You can look at me, and you could tell I'm not ready to have a woman naked sent to my room now. In 5 hours, we'll sure. see where we're at. Let's dress it up. Let's go to that slot machine.
Once the enormous drinks get in, you're like, you know, I'm in Vegas, so it really doesn't matter.
That yard-long shot of a margarita, I'm there. Mm. All right, you guys. Robin Anton is here right now. She is a choreographer, a producer, a director, a designer, and an entrepreneur is what she is, honey.
She's also knitting while we're sitting here. She's knitting.
She's a multitasker. Yeah. She founded the modern burlesque dance troupe, the Pussycat Dolls, like we said. And here's the thing. When she started that, Hannes, within just a few years, she turned that whole stage show into one of the biggest pop group sensations, producing hit songs and selling tens of millions of albums worldwide. What is happening?
Hey,
she does it
show
all.
Show business, baby.
And you can find her at our website, which has an amazing intro. Can I just say that? You go to robinanton.com, and just the intro, you might watch it 3 or 4 times. And I'm just saying, beautiful, absolutely stunningly beautiful girl. And you can also find her on Twitter at RobinAntonPCD. That's Pussycat Doll. Robin Anton PCD.
Oh, I thought that was one of her degrees.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Robin Anton.
I will give myself an applause just because that intro was so, it made me look way, way better than I am. Thank you, you guys. I feel more confident now. God, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I have so much to comment on from before hearing what you guys were talking about. I'll start with you as a pussycat doll, Christine. You're wearing a see-through blouse today. Blouse. And it's very sexy. So let's just start there. You are a pussycat doll. You're already you're past the point of, you're hot. You got it. So I can teach you choreography, and maybe today before I leave, I'll give you a couple of little moves. And if you want to come to my, I have a dance class on Monday night that I'm teaching. I'm a guest dance teacher at this. Sarah, my assistant, will give you the info, and then you can throw it up here on your podcast. But it's hot. I can teach it. It's designed for literally anyone. Anyone can learn how to dance in this dance class. Yes, you will be coming to my dance class Monday night. Yes, here we go. So I promise you, if you come, you will learn the moves. Sarah, right? Sarah, my assistant, has never danced ever in her life. She came to the class, learned how to dance there. And it's fun and it's sexy. And Monday night at 7 p.m. And it's on a rooftop. It's all open, outdoor. It's beautiful. Yeah. So that is that. And Vegas is crazy, yes. I wanted to comment on that just because I'm in Vegas a lot, spend a lot of time there. I have my Pussycat Dolls casino there, and see a lot of girls walking around barefoot with those big drinks. But I love listening to you guys, so thank you so much for having me. And I could do this all morning. You guys are... I want to wake up to you guys every day and just listen to you guys. Yeah. I wanted to tell my story about my journey with the Pussycat Dolls and how I created this strange thing that I never really knew was going to become what it is today, which is definitely, I have created, I would say, an empire. I've done a lot of different things with it, from obviously, started it as a dance group, and then I started having girls coming in and singing, and I added in the celebrities, and then turned it into the recording group, and then went to Vegas and did clubs there, and I have the casino and a lot of different branding, lingerie, and Pussycat Doll fitness DVDs, dance DVDs, and I'm still working on doing another one, and working on a lot of things right now, doing Pussycat Dolls featuring celebrities out there in the all over the world, putting that together right now. So there's a lot that's going on with it, but how I started it from the beginning, it's like if it would take me 40 hours to tell you everything, so I'll cut it into 10 minutes. But I started dancing when I was 9, 10, and I loved dancing so much, and took many, many dance classes every day and became a professional dancer, which is not something that I thought I was going to do. I just sort of fell into it because I love dancing so much. And I found myself really in loving fashion when I was, you know, 2021, I just really loved, I was so inspired by fashion and by music and everything. And I started making clothes, which turned into me making costumes. My grandfather was a tailor from, my parents are from the UK, and my grandfather taught me how to sew when I was really young, and he'd buy me sewing machines every year for my birthday. And so I started just sewing and making all of these, you know, really interesting, weird little dresses with like sequins and rhinestones and feathers and all of, you know, things like that. And so I kind of like, it was, I had costumes. I loved music. I was really inspired by a lot of different types of music, from punk rock to rock and roll to burlesque, you know, bump and grind, you know, every kind of music you can imagine. And so the Pussycat Dolls really started as like a fusion of so many different inspirations for me that I put together. I had met Christina Applegate in dance class, and we just became friends. And I was looking for, I was moving, and I didn't have any money, and I was trying to make it all work. I don't come from money, from my family, and so I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I was like 21, 22 at that time, and moved in. I was looking for an apartment, and Christina was like, come live with me. And she was on Married with Children, you know. So there I was, like, moving into Christina's house. And it's not like it was actually that easy for me. I mean, I said, you know, I have to pay your rent. She said, great, I respect that. So I paid her $500 a month. And and it was tough because I was trying to work as a choreographer. And you know, all of that is challenging. I was a dancer, but I was so interested in choreography and very inspired by Bob Fosse, which is something that helped me, that paved the way for me in my choreography in Pussycat Dolls. And I ended up moving with Christina, and I lived in a room that was in the back of her house, and I painted the walls, like, you know, deep red. She was fine with it. She's like, do whatever you want. You know, I love that you're so creative. And I had like feather boas everywhere, and I was making costumes. And she had a little dance studio down in her garage, and I go down there at, you know, 11 at night and just stay there, like, you know, in the studio all night, like coming up with all these dance numbers and just being creative. That was just sort of my outlet. And you know, in my days were filled with me going on dance auditions and choreographing, but I wasn't making money as a choreographer. So the Pussycat Dolls stage show at the Viper Room was like a showcase for me as a choreographer to work as a choreographer. And I did end up becoming a successful choreographer through that for a lot of other artists that I ended up doing later. So I was, you know, as I was putting this together in Christina's dance studio in her garage, Christina came down one night and said, you know, God, like, I would love to dance in the show. And it was really only a couple of numbers. I didn't even know what the show was. I was like, there is no show. I'm just doing this, you know? And she, kind of threw her in. And I mean, you know, I had other girls that were with me, but we weren't even called the Pussycat Dolls. It was just a fun, crazy, weird, sexy thing that I was putting together. And she had this idea to bring it over to the Viper Room that had only been open for like 6 months, owned by Johnny Depp. And of course I was like, yeah, because I want to meet him too. And so went down there, did like an audition for him, and he just flipped out, and he was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I want you guys to perform here. And so, you know, went on to perform pretty much like once a week, then it turned into like twice a week. And I mean, it really became something that was like a cool underground thing at the Viper Room. And Christina did it. She was really the first kind of known celebrity to do it. And then Carmen Electra was a friend of mine, and she came in. And moving on, it, you know, Gwen Stefani was in the audience one night. I pulled her up to be a part of it. Christina Aguilera. And then I took the show from the Viper Room over to the Roxy. And that was when I asked my dancers in the show, like, okay, now it's time for you guys to sing. So we ended up, that's when it started to kind of change, and it became this show where I had the girls also singing in the show. I'm not a singer, I'm just so fascinated and obsessed with singing that I'm like, everyone sing, please, you know? And, but I was in it. I was in the group. I was in the show for years and loved, you know, it's still my passion. I'm a crazy dance. I'm a dance freak. And so we had the show at the Viper Room for 9-10 years. And then I know it was crazy. And then I ended up, when I took it over to the Roxy, I had it there for, we did it for a couple of months. We were sold out. We literally had everyone in the audience, from Cameron Diaz to Marilyn Manson to Hugh Hefner. I mean, just, you know, everyone you can imagine. And I, you know, I ended up bringing in Scarlett Johansson. She did a number in the show, Charlize Theron, Fergie, Pink. I mean, everyone, you know, did it. And I mean, the only person that I'm still waiting to be a part of it is Jennifer Lopez. So if you listen to the show, please, Jennifer, I need you. You're right. Yeah. Oh, you never know. It turned into a show that inspired me to then, you know that I wanted to take it to Vegas, and I wanted to still to this day, I do want to have the Pussycat Dolls on Broadway and really as a, you know, told the story told from my eyes, because at that point, and that's what I want. I want Jennifer to play me. Yes, I keep putting it out there. And then I started taking it to record companies, because I thought I wanted to maybe turn it into, I wanted to have like a soundtrack. I had all these different, I mean, I had like Whole Lot of Love, Led Zeppelin in the show, to, you know, I don't know if you guys, punk rock Susie and the Banshees, to total, yeah, like sexy, like old school burlesque, to Pink Panther music, like the weirdest, all weird music, right? And, but that's what made it so interesting and so cool, was that it wasn't this like, it's just a burlesque show or it's just a rock and roll, you know what I mean? And then I'd have like, you know, we'd be like in, you know, the hottest, you know, in fishnets and garters and, you know, hot bras and panties and the whole thing. And, but it was like, we had actually a lot of clothes on, believe it or not. And we'd like do like fake strip on stage. So we'd come out with like dresses, like, you know, I'm giving up my formula right now. But we come out with, like, you know, dresses, like beaded little dresses, and then strip off the dress, like with the, you know, I'd always put like zips in the front, you know, strip off the dress with the, and then down to, you know, maybe a little skirt and then something else, then strip that off, down to a corset, strip that, and you just keep stripping, but you never see. You never see the boobies. But that was my whole thing, was like, it's just all about the tease and my version of it. And so record companies were coming to the show, and Gwen Stefani was the one who, you know, she was with Interscope Records, and Jimmy Iovine was her, who had signed No Doubt when she was like 17. And so she was obviously very close with him and was like, come down, you got to see the show. And he came down with Ron Fair, who was, you know, his Jimmy's partner, and they came down and saw the show. And it's kind of like the rest is history, because when they came down, it was... They were like, I don't even know what this is, but it is the coolest thing we've ever seen. It's hot girls. They're singing. They're dancing. They're wearing lingerie. There's these rock stars in the show. Whatever it is, we want to be a part of it. And I ended up doing a partnership with them. And you know, it definitely changed my life. It was scary, too, because all of a sudden the Pussycat Dolls became, like, mainstream. And for me, it was... You know, it was almost like my baby and my dream, you know, and the garters and the fishnets became like a huge argument every single time we, you know, came into starting to talk about like the wardrobe. And it ended up turning again because they realized, and they're smart, that I had branded the Pussycat Dolls before, you know, I brought it to them. So, yeah. So even though they wanted it to all of a sudden become like the girls in like, you know, trucker hats. And I mean, at that time, you know, we called them trucker hats. I'd like, or you know what I mean? Things like that. They wanted the girls to be like, you know, like cool and funky and all that. And I was like, but that's not what it is. So it became a fusion at that point of, you know, of sexy and girls in jeans, yeah. To then when we did the music video Buttons, I was like, okay, everyone, stand back. Because if you look at Don't Show was our first, you know, was our first single and went to number one, and it was huge. But if you look at what the girls, how they were dressed, and the actual like single cover, you can see that it was the girls were in normal, regular clothing. And I learned a lot because I realized that we are catered, you know, a lot of our fans are very young, and it's not all about wearing bras and panties. So I had to grow also, and I took myself out of the group, and I became, you know, a businesswoman. So I had to learn and grow and realize that this is now a real business. Yeah. And so, you know, the image changed a little bit, but by the time we got to Buttons, which, you know, we won MTV award for best music video and dancing, and it was so crazy, but I put my heart and soul into every single thing that I did, you know, with Pussycat Dolls while the group was, you know, so successful. And it was like I said, it was scary too, because all of a sudden it was like there were so many people involved and so many cooks in the kitchen, you know what I mean, that I was like, yikes, but what about, you know, what about the integrity of the Pussycat Dolls? What about the girls, you know, going on stage and stripping off their clothes but not really stripping? And you know, my partners, Jimmy and Ron, we learned from each other, and it really became a great, great partnership. And I was able to kind of bring back everything that I had created originally, and you know, now, like you Christine, you were talking about on Halloween, you know, dressing up and that kind of thing, and Pussycat Dolls became like a staple for Halloween, where girls are, I see them on the street all the time as Pussycat Dolls are walking around. They're all in their, like, you know, little sexy, you know, my niece, who's 7 years old, she is obsessed with the Pussycat Dolls and she knows all the music, but she literally, like on Halloween, she's got the whole Pussycat Doll outfit. So it reminded me that, you know, young girls also relate to the early part, to what I created, which was girls dressing up like dolls, which is what we love, you know? And that was really my vision in the beginning, was, you know, the doll part of it is my sweet side and the pussycat is my sexy side. I didn't know which one, yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, okay, so things start getting big for you and you're getting all this attention because, yeah, they come down to the club and they've never seen anything like this. Yeah. It's a completely original idea.
Yes.
And then things start getting big and big, and then who do you trust?
Well, that's you know, I would say that, I mean, I have a guy that I work with. You know, let me start this over. The person that I will say that I trust the most, and still to this day, but especially then, would be my brother Steven Anton. Steve is he directed Burlesque. Mm-hmm. Side note, very talented director, writer, and Steve was there with me by my side from day one.
When you were born,
yes, but through the journey of this, you know, right. Whereas
you,
like, you know,
you came out of the woman, he handed you a bossy hat,
right? Yeah,
or a baby going, no,
yes,
put a sequin diaper on,
yeah, exactly. But
it was a sexy lace diaper.
Yes,
crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he's someone though that I always went to for, you know, like information.
That's the thing
and,
with family. That's the thing with family. Now I have a large family, but like one sister, I know I can go to her.
Exactly.
She's the go to.
Yes.
There's no way she's going to judge me. And no.
Yeah,
no
you
way
have
she's
like
not
your
me.
Your siblings are also successful. It's like you must have had like positive parents.
Now,
we don't
I'm
understand
reading.
That here at the
now
story
Robin
worthy.
Can tell us herself, but why shouldn't I tell you? Because I'm reading
sure.
it.
Sure.
No, I'm kidding.
Why should I listen to her? When you can tell me what you got from Wikipedia, which is so
wrong. I'll tell you right now, Robin. Your father was a painter and an artist.
Yes, he is.
And your mom was a designer, specifically in the furniture
business.
Yes,
they are, yeah.
So you had these creative people around you.
Yes.
And your mother must have been a seamstress to some degree.
No, not at all. My mother has just always had a great eye for fashion, and that's really what inspired me. I used to, you know, go in and sneak in, wear all her shoes and her, you know, all
but
of her clothes.
But if she's into the furniture business, it was like upholsteries and fabrics.
Oh, she is.
It was sexy furniture.
Yeah. No,
it's true, though, because it's silks and tassels.
Well, the interesting
part
is. And
you thought you saw something, but you never actually saw the inside of the stuffing of the upholstery.
No, the interesting part is my father was in the service and met my mother in England. Hmm. So he was stationed in the UK, met my mother's English. That's where they met. So the interesting part is when I brought the show over to the Roxy, there were like, you know, I always had like sailor boys that were like the cool, like, you know, dirty sailor boys and the girls.
Oh, I'm in.
You know, that kind of thing. So it was interesting that I kind of brought that, what I would just sort of envision about my parents and, you know.
Was your dad in the Navy? Was that his?
Yeah. And so like it was, you know what I mean? It was like that sort of. Just the more of the aesthetic, more of the look and the, you know, so I would get a lot of inspiration.
Let me ask you, was there a fight then between the Foxy and the Viper Room? I mean, how do you switch? You're literally going across the street to the competition.
Well, when I brought it over to the Roxy, I actually didn't say anything just because.
But why did you even go to the Roxy?
Because it was, well, bigger stage, first of all. Okay. We had been at the Viper Room for so long that I felt that I just felt like I needed more of a theater type show. Mm. And the Roxy just felt, you know, it is like a more of a club. Mm. It's rock and roll. So is the Roxy. But there's something about the Roxy. The other thing that really inspired me is, so my brother Steve went to see the show, the Rocky Horror Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before,
and that was across the street at the Tiffany Theater in Hollywood, but it started at the Roxy.
Tim Curry was actually in the show, and I remember my brother going, and he came home, and he's, you know, he's a couple years older, so I remember I was like, I mean, I was probably 14 and he was 17, and I remember him coming home and going, I just saw the greatest show I've ever seen in my life. And he explained it like in such detail. And it stuck with me, and it was one of those things that I actually never saw it on stage. I was too young. I didn't see it on stage, but I remember I designed a lot of my show around what I had, what exactly, I mean, he
because of the impression it left on your brother. It said to you, like, wait, like, Robin, you want to get somebody's attention? Here's what just happened
to me. Yes, like the Roxy, the way, you know, it's designed, it's like, you know, everyone is seated, and Tim Curry, who played Frankenfurter, would come down through the audience and walk through the audience, and you, everyone in the audience was a part of the show, so it was this sort of like, you know, they brought in the audience, too, so everyone...
Yeah.
Almost participated in the show. So when I created the show at the Roxy, I'd have the girls, we'd all be walking through the audience and playing, you know, with the sitting on the guy's laps. And I mean, really doing crazy stuff, you know? So it was like the feeling. And I'm kind of glad that I actually never saw the show. I actually never saw Rocky Horror because I was creating my own vision.
You weren't doing cross-dressing either. I mean, Rocky Horror.
No, but they, well, if you go back and you look at, I mean, look, even just Rocky Horror Picture Show, I mean, they're wearing, you know, they're all in
corsets, and it looks
like it's inspired by Fosse, I have to say. But
interesting.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. How hard is it to not be in the show anymore or to see, not necessarily now because it's been some time, but when you first decided, you know, I'm going to step off and just be the choreographer, and then... Don't you want to be there?
It was honestly it was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make, you know, in my business and just in life. I mean, I love dancing so much. I love performing, and I just love the feeling of being on stage. And my brain works in a way where, like, I literally be on stage and thinking about, oh God, you know, I gotta fix that. You know, from the costumes to the music to who's in the audience? What are they? I mean, I'm thinking about so many things. I'm thinking about the business too.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had to actually be smart and realize, you know, I'm older than the girls. I mean, mm-hmm. I was bringing in girls that were young and, you know, we all, I mean, you know, I dance every day. So my body is definitely on point and, you know, I felt good with the girls, but I knew that I just, honestly, it really didn't even have anything to do with age. It was more like I need to step back so I can.
You can pass that buck.
I can pass it, and also I can be. You know, it's hard to do both.
It's and hard I to wanna do both. Be, you have to decide what's more important right now in your career.
Because I was making decisions based on, well, you know, sometimes I had to do, because I was in the show, so I didn't want to be selfish in any way. And I never put myself in the front or did anything like that because I was always like, you're the best. You're going to be there. You're the best. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Yeah.
But you delegate.
Yeah. I enjoyed it so much. So when I had to do that, it was definitely like, it was hard. It was strange and it was sad and I cried a lot and I had to go through a lot to, you know, really understand
it. When you were in the show, was there any indication to the audience that you were the creator also being in the show? Or
well,
was that not communicated
to them? Well, that also got, you know, I never, it was different also because there was no social media when I started it. So it wasn't like people didn't, it's like they didn't really know. And I didn't have Robin Anton's Pussycat Dolls. Mm-hmm. It was just Pussycat Dolls.
Right.
And I had to put it out there as much as I could. But, you know, and I don't have a problem with this at all. But, you know, people thought it was Christine Applegate's show. They thought it was Carmen Electra's show for a long time.
Right.
And then, you know, with social media
but
starting to
that's a double-edged
open up,
sword because obviously they're bringing attention to the show.
Exactly.
And it's fascinating that they're mostly actresses. They're not necessarily dancers.
Exactly. So
you're turning them into.
Yes. I mean, you know, with Carmen, it was, I mean, she really was. And Christina too, but I mean, they would be out there talking about this like they were my publicist. I mean, they were so supportive,
and that's really exciting.
And everyone. I mean, everyone that I've worked with, including Gwen Stefani, and
well, you make everybody look really good too.
Yeah, they
trust
me.
They're looking good, and also, you know, they're letting out this side of them.
Exactly.
It's not stripper. It's not stripper.
No, they want.
But there's a burlesque thing to
yes.
it. So you give it a soft edge.
Well, that's how I got. I mean, exactly what you just said. That's how I got all of them to be in the show. I mean, with someone like Gwen Stefani, I remember talking to her for the first time about it. And, you know, she's a rock star. She can go
she
get
sure
up.
Is,
she
yeah.
can do. The girl is unbelievable. But when I talked to her about doing this, she was like, oh, I don't know. I'd be so nervous. I've never done it. I'm like, you do it every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
for her, it was a different kind of thing. And when I brought her in, I kind of gave her, you know, I gave her like the, you know, the hair. I gave her like long pigtails and,
yeah, and them wearing wigs. And
yeah,
the
I know.
And the
right.
Stockings.
I like before when you were describing it,
and
you were
makeup.
Like, you know, we're talking about your burlesque and so forth. And then you go,
and now,
but you never saw the boobie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that an official term?
Yeah.
That's why you said Gwen.
Gwen.
We don't see the boobie.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So, yeah, put her in the pigtails and, you know, no boobs.
But listen, Jennifer Lopez, I mean, my gosh, I could see her playing you in a heartbeat.
I know. Because
and don't you think she'd be
Jennifer,
completely interested in you?
Well, you
in
know
this?
What's so interesting is Jennifer and I have such a similar journey from, you know, just
Are
starting.
Are you also from the block?
I'm from
the block.
I'm just Robin from the Valley.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, go ahead with
hey,
the story.
Hey, but by the way, she's from the block, and I'm from Van Nuys, and Van Nuys is kind of hood. I mean, it's definitely
Van Nuys
right?
is,
man.
Filled with blocks.
It's
many
just,
long, long, dusty, hot
it's,
blocks.
Yeah, it's just like really. I mean, it's kind of a messy place, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
It's
but
hardcore.
I used to say so for so long. I would say no, I was born in Sherman Oaks, but then I realized, okay, well, I was, but. I'm from Van Nuys, and
the
I'm proud.
Yeah,
I'm proud of it.
Why
I know,
not?
Every,
why not?
Every
brothers used to cruise
in
on
the
Van Nuys
Valley,
Boulevard.
There's people like renaming their two blocks. They're like, no, this is Valley Village, and this is Valley Glen.
I know.
And this
weird,
is like,
but it, no,
you know, there's a
no,
tire
no.
fire on the other side of your
yeah,
house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm
but
from,
apparently you're in Valley Glen.
The
okay,
Valley.
Great.
No, I'm from like, you know, Van Owen, you
okay.
know. And
anyhow, so go back. I'm sorry. You were about to say something about Jennifer Lopez, very similar.
Well, which she, you know, she started as a dancer, and she then did Living Color
mm-hmm.
And became a fly girl. And, you know, we just had a similar sort of road where dancer, you know, became a professional dancer. I mean, she didn't become a choreographer, but we, you know, became successful from being dancers. And she's a lot richer than I am.
But wait a
and,
minute, why can't you just contact her? Sarah, get on that.
She, yeah.
Contact her.
I mean,
her.
She knows, she knows
yeah,
me.
Sarah,
and she
Sarah,
does know. She's been
get
so, I know.
Sure,
every
right
time I've seen
here.
Her, she's been so lovely.
Of
and,
course.
And, but I have this thing where I know that it really could happen. Can't you see
I
it?
Mean, I can totally
I mean,
see it.
Yeah.
You're fearless. So
yeah.
why don't you understand this hesitancy?
I know. Well,
because
no, I know.
If it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen.
I know.
So you may as well just like try now.
And my brother, Steve, is the most incredible writer, and we've talked forever about him writing the film and or, you know, the Broadway show.
So let's do this.
So we're going to do it.
Yeah, this can totally happen.
Yes. I mean, right?
No, I'm just saying that a lot of people, I mean, no matter what level you're at in Hollywood and of your success, people think that people further along are busy all the time and why are they going to listen to you? But that's not true.
I know.
Because you don't know what's on her plate.
No,
She may be very busy or she may not be very busy.
Yeah, because someone like Jennifer is always looking for, the most creative project. And
right.
I mean,
she's not going to repeat herself and do the exact same thing.
Exactly.
She's moving and going forward.
And this is a story that is, it's got its obvious, it's so inspirational and it's got its highs, but it also has its lows because there are so many things that, for me, just as a, someone that was always so connected to it and it was my baby, that there are so many stories of how it kind of
got to where it is.
But there's also a lot of other crazy.
All right, here's
a
little
drama,
the drama that we add in.
Oh.
Obviously, you and Johnny have a love affair that no one knows
about. But where are they now?
Now, when you take the show to the Roxy, it causes problems between you and Johnny.
I know. Well, here's the thing.
Johnny, who will be played by Johnny Depp, by the way, who looks exactly the same as he did 25 years ago.
I know.
Ago.
How is that?
He's frightening.
I mean, what is that?
He looks
that?
Exactly the same.
Talking about jeans, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he... Okay, so when I brought it over to the Roxy, yes, there was, like I said, I kind of just did it, and I almost didn't care because I don't. First of all, I don't own the Viper Room. I mean, if I were making money off,
yeah, it's your show,
right? I'm like,
yeah.
I gotta do what I gotta do.
Okay.
Yes, they were a little upset, but Johnny was also moving away from the Viper Room, so that didn't hurt my relationship. And I actually saw him years later.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, my God, I cannot believe what you did with the Pussycat Dolls. Congratulations. And I said to him, it's really because of
your
club. It's because
That's
of you.
You
it is.
Get your sword out of your pants.
Yes, your pants.
I know. No, I did. I honestly was like, it was so incredible that I got to say thank you. But the drama lies in a lot of other areas.
Yeah.
All kinds
but you're
of
talking
stuff.
About an empire. You're talking about, of course, there's going to be drama. There's going to be highs and lows.
Absolutely.
Things happen and go away.
Yes.
I remember River Phoenix, of course, passed away in front of the Viper Room.
Yeah.
I think that was 97 something.
That was during, because I created the Pussycat Dolls in 1995.
And just right after that.
Yeah, that's
and
when
so
that, exactly.
There's this kind of a stardom, and then there's the following.
Yeah.
And then there's let me ask you this. A couple of words of advice you would give to young girls who are home and they're playing with sewing machines and they've got leather and lace and satin, and you say what?
What girl has a sewing machine nowadays? What
no, hey, no, that's not
my niece, your daughter, right?
Yeah.
My daughter, but my friend does.
Well, that answers the question.
Your daughter's not home with leather and lace? No, I'm just kidding. My niece happens to be one of those little girls
my daughter is so creative.
Yes.
She's really into this Frozen thing, right? She can't get past Frozen.
So,
but here's the thing. My daughter, she took out her whiteboard and she...
She storyboarded.
Wow. She broke down the script to the characters, the settings.
No.
And then she drew all the clothes.
That's incredible.
She did. She did Anna's clothes, Elsa's clothes.
She's a talented little
one. So she's Hollywood thinking.
Yeah,
I,
and then
I love
Christine
that.
Puts it on Facebook and goes, get over Frozen already. It's like our mother of the year
here. Let it go.
Yeah, no, but my... So
enough already with your...
Yeah, right, exactly. Like Frozen schmozen. But my niece is the same. So she's Frozen, the whole thing, you know, and she every time I see her, she's got to show me, she's got to sing for me, and she's got to sing all the songs, and Taylor Swift, and, but today it's a different day. They're all with their iPads and, they're I guess.
Yeah, but she's looking at Taylor Swift videos.
Exactly.
Which is great.
Right, which is great.
My daughter loves Katy Perry. Loves her.
Loves.
Fantastic.
Yes, exactly. So, from just my experience, it's with young kids, young girls especially, it's about being inspired with a young girl that they're not thinking about like future, they're thinking about, I want to dress up. I love dolls. I want to, this is actually, starting from when they are so young. So, I would literally just sit there with my sewing machine and just, make clothes that were based on, you know, little cartoon characters and things like that. So that's what got that. That definitely paved the way for me to, you know, one thing will inspire you to do the next, the next, the next.
Yeah. So stay in the moment.
Yes.
And go through your princess and phase and go through
exactly.
your whatever. And then keep going.
Yes.
And don't stop.
Right. And I tell that to my sister-in-law, who's, you know, she's married to my brother Jonathan, and I know that Josie and also my nephew Asher, like they have a lot of different things that they love. You know,
yeah.
Josie, you know, she loves ballet, she loves hip hop, she loves all these different things. And then she, and then they have her in tennis, and they have, Asher in golf and all these different things, which I understand when you are a child, you want to do all these different things.
Right.
But I know, I'm not a mother, but I know that I would be, I'd focus so hard on what is it that you really love? Like, it, what is it?
But
what
they
is
don't
it,
know yet. They don't know yet.
They don't, but I think that you can kind of, you can...
It sounds like they're doing it, though.
You know, they are. They
dance,
are. And
like
she, and listen, they are doing it right.
Right.
My Jonathan and Ceci do it right because they are letting them find out what they love. I know for me, I get a little frustrated. Like, no, keep her. You got to keep her in hip hop. You got to keep her in ballet.
I see.
You know, you need the foundation
you
of.
Might, if you were a mom, you might not really do that. You know what I mean? You're saying that
I know,
from the
what
outside.
I, that's
once
the thing.
You get in there and
would I be
you're
a stage
parent,
mom? No.
You probably wouldn't because
no,
once you get in there, you realize you let them do what they love.
I just get worried about, I know for me, when I started, and this is also a part of, you know, of the advice is when I started everything, you know, when you're younger, you definitely can, you get distracted and you
yeah.
just all of a sudden you go from this and then you just, you're not into it anymore. You don't like it. On to the next.
Right.
So there's, I get worried about that where, you know, I know for me, I took ballet and all of a sudden I hated it.
Mm.
Stopped taking ballet. Then I would take another class. Stop. And then I would hate it. And I think,
but doesn't it? It sounds like it's been a cumulative effect, though, that it all adds
for
up to
me.
What's going on.
For me, that worked
right.
out. But for
right.
a lot of people, I know. So, I mean, how many people have you talked to in your life where they go, "I used to dance. I danced when I was little.
Right.
I danced when I was younger, and then I stopped. What is the reason
yeah, but
that
that's
you
their
stopped?
Passion. That, yeah, but that's their confidence, their fear, the lack of confidence, their
I know,
their worry, but, their anxiety.
Right. But the thing is, at what point does that happen? Because my point is, my concern is. How do you, if for anyone in the world, mm-hmm. I think any girl, mm-hmm. right? A lot of guys would say, God, I wish, I mean, I don't know one girl that says, I'm so glad I stopped dancing. I would have hated being, I just,
yeah.
every single girl in the world is like, would say, I danced when I was younger. God, I wish I would have kept it going just for their soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, do you think some of that is the fear because they see what the media puts out in terms of how you're supposed to look?
I mean,
and that's not.
I think that it's, you know, I mean, I think it's going into a dance class and seeing your surroundings and maybe getting discouraged,
intimidating.
It's very intimidating. So there is.
But you're trying to say you bring out the pussycat doll in all of us. It doesn't matter your size,
exactly.
Your color, your ability.
No, I can
you
turn
teach men.
I can turn anyone into pussycat doll.
A minute, but a man.
And then with you, what I would do with you is
she's
I would
looking at Hannes.
The ultimate
yes.
man.
Yes. Okay.
What would you do?
Okay, so
I see a sarong.
Honestly, what I would do with you is I would give you
yes.
I'd give you some cool hip hop moves because there's
yes.
nothing sexier
yes.
than a guy that's just kind of giving you a like a you know almost like a Justin Timberlake.
Oh, come
sure.
on,
you know,
come on now.
I'm bringing Hungry back.
I mean, even like Chris Brown the other night, I saw him. He was on Fallon. I mean, my God, let me tell you,
so
that guy's got some moves.
Maybe nope. Hannes has like a top hat and a cane.
But, oh, yeah,
yeah
no, we can go, so we can go
action,
more. Oh, you want to go more Fosse. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I want Fosse.
Okay.
Want very tight black.
So, but
pants.
I would combine as I do.
Yes.
I would combine
a
little bit of
the vest, no shirt, obviously.
I would combine the jazz hands with the hip hop.
Dancing with the Pussycat Dolls. Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about that for a show?
Yes.
Right
oh my God. Yes.
I think that's fantastic.
Oh, you mean like Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah,
but
Dancing
it's,
with the Pussycat Dolls.
So okay, so they're okay. So it's all male celebrities teamed up with Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, yeah
exactly.
I mean, yes, that
yes,
is no.
Yes,
that is
right.
amazing.
Okay.
Right, yes.
See, there's
be.
An idea right
I
there.
I love it.
I think a lot of dancing. I just it's a mental. Well, you were talking about having the thinking about, like, you don't think of yourself as like, oh, I could look like Pussycat Doll, even though you could, but you don't think of it that way. And I think dancing
is partially
a mindset. It's like if you think that your limbs can be light and be attractive in motion, then you do. But if you don't have any dance training,
well, no,
you don't think that.
That's true. But I have an eye So this is where I come in. Mm-hmm. I'm like the, you know, wizard of Pussycat Dolls.
You're the wizard of hips, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you are. You are, though. Right. Okay. You know? You're the queen pussycat.
Exactly. So, like, I can come in. I got the magic wand. Yeah. And I can, you know. Yeah. The
bustier.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
But even beyond that, it's like I would look at you and go, I know exactly what to do with you, and I know how to, like, you know,
like
the
what,
whole...
Could what
I,
dance... You're, so you're looking at people, and not you're like, what dance moves fit that person's body?
Yeah, like, the way that I would do it is, like, first we would get in a studio, and I would turn the music on and kind of see how you move, because I don't want to throw choreography on you or any dance moves. It just make you feel like I look uncomfortable. It doesn't look right on me. So I've done that with everyone, every star, every celebrity I've worked with, that, you know, I want to see how does your body naturally move. Everyone's body is different, you know?
My body moves to an acoustic Neil Young. I'd say early 70s to mid-80s.
I love it. So you're more...
heavy guitar.
Joint in one hand, a guitar in the other, sitting in the back of a VW bus.
You're more like Woodstock.
No, I'm not going to do the Deadhead dance where the girl...
But that's kind of...
Like,
but listen...
That kind of does look like that's the
dance. But I know what that is, and I actually... I like that. It's kind of
a hippie thing.
Yeah, you're like a hippie. I'm kind of a hippie girl.
There's power in the hair.
Yeah, she's a hippie chick.
But I love leather. I like leather more than I like the satin.
But so maybe... Because so we would take away the flower, and we would turn it into, like, kind of like, you know those, like, beady, those things that, like, they're almost like dreadlocky.
When you go to Bermuda and they put beads in
your
hair.
And they put, like, a bead thing, you have one hanging, it's a little bit longer.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, maybe like a braid.
Yeah, and maybe some and fringe and a suede
fringe,
bikini.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Hot.
It's not like I haven't thought of this.
Yeah, like a Daisy Duke, but, like, more like, you know, little, like, hot little jean shorts with maybe some holes in them. And
yeah, maybe like some, like, fake guns or something.
No. She's doing the gun thing.
No guns. But I like the saloon.
Yeah,
the saloon style cowgirl.
All right,
is
that's what I'm
hot.
Doing. Ride 'em cowgirl. That's
okay,
it.
Exactly. So you're a little like Calamity Jane in Deadwood. By the way, I just have to know, when you were living in Christine Applegate's house, were there a lot of, like, pillow fights in your underwear, that kind of thing? Is that that happening?
Oh, yeah. Keep going.
Did Katie Sagal ever come by?
In her underwear.
Katie Sagal could be wearing a burqa. I'd still be like, hello, Katie.
Hello.
Hello, Katie Sagal.
I mean, how hot was Christina on Married with Children?
Oh, yeah.
She's fantastic.
But she's still the hottest girl.
She's such a great actress.
She really is so talented.
She has it all together.
She can sing.
She
can dance. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
Love her. She's...
You don't still live in her house, do you?
I don't. I actually got out of there. I mean, I would have. I went over there recently.
I don't know if the guy who played Bud Bundy. He lives in her house right now.
I went over there. No, I went over to Christina's recently, and I walked in, and I went, oh, my God. Like, I couldn't believe
it. Was it the same house?
Yes, she lives in the same house.
Man.
How amazing is that?
That's cool.
I know. She's... Talk about hippie.
Yeah.
I mean, she lives in a very hippie kind of area. I won't tell you where she lives.
Silver Lake.
I'll tell you.
Los Feliz. Hey, listen, you want to play some Shotgun Story with
me? Yes, I do. Oh, my
Van
God,
Nuys?
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Virginity?
Oh, God.
So the first time that I lost... The first time? What does that mean? So when I lost my virginity, I was at a friend's... I was actually at my girlfriend's house, and the boy that I was dating, we had sex. And then I called my aunt, not my mom... I don't have sisters, not my brothers. Not a best friend. I called my aunt and I told her, I had to tell her. It was one of these weird things where I just felt like I needed her to know. And I was very close with her, obviously. And she said, well, good for you.
Oh,
I know.
That's a beautiful story. So it was a consensual, sweet thing with family involvement.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
You know, it scared me. I was scared, you know? I was definitely...
Well, it's only the one time, the first time.
Yeah.
It's pretty important.
It was. It was, yeah.
And that's
it was,
why it's a good story for this particular game show, Shuck and Storyworthy, because everybody has that story.
Yeah, usually it involves, terrible things. Or who did we have? Chris McGaugh. She was like... she thought she had lost her virginity the first time they did it.
No.
But really, it just kind of, yeah. Ew. And he was like, oh, okay, well, that's not much. Then the second time, and it's like, oh.
Oh, that's it.
That's what it is. It's like, okay. It's like, yeah. he was nowhere near any.
Does anybody have the story like it was the best sex I've ever had?
No one, right?
And
how sad would that be if
they'd
like,
say it, they're lying.
Like yeah. people who peak right. in high school.
Yeah.
Like, greatest sex ever, and the rest of your life, nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. And like, I remember every single detail of it, but I definitely know it was not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
just
like
an experience.
Yeah, it was like,
okay, listen, we got to wrap this up, but I want to ask you a little bit
so
about
sad.
Your casino
okay.
in Vegas.
Yes.
And what kind of, what are we talking about?
Oh my
about?
God.
What are you playing in that casino?
It's absolutely unbelievable. Every time I go to Caesar's Palace, I walk in and I'm like, wow. I mean, it's crazy. It's so inspiring to me. So it's all tables, blackjack.
So there's no slot machines. It's just
there's no slot
blackjack
machines.
Blackjack, craps.
That slot machines will be coming. You know, it takes a lot. You
yeah,
wouldn't
nobody
believe
knows.
The whole gaming world. It takes a million years to make anything happen
because it's permits and it's
exactly
it's zoning
oh,
laws
it's
and it's
zoning
everything.
So
and do the girls and the guys do they dress sexy at the
so club? So the girl so the dealers are dressed as pussycat dolls.
And are they
it's
all
genius.
Women or are they men?
All
too?
Women.
All women.
Yes, and so. The girls walk from all the way over to where they're, you know, when they, you know, they come in from outside, yeah. they get dressed, they have their backstage, which is like literally like a mile, you know,
yeah.
how Vegas,
yeah.
you have
sure,
to walk
sure,
like
sure.
5 million miles to get to your room. So they walk from wherever that is all the way through the whole entire hotel, like clapping, singing, don't ya, walking in their outfits. Everyone's in the hotel looking, going like, what is this? And there's like 30 of them.
Wow.
And they're walking in a line and then they finally get to their, you know, places.
Yeah.
They do a little clap, I think a little one and then a little that, you know, what is this
yeah,
called?
Rubbing
their hands
together.
Together
like there's nothing in their hands.
Yeah. They get like let the games begin
yeah.
type thing.
Yeah.
And then they go and it's, I know it's so great.
Ding,
it's
ding,
like
ding,
such
ding.
A, yeah, it's such a moment. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
this is at the change of every shift.
Yes, exactly. And then the girls, we have pussycat doll dancers that walk up into these huge, giant go-go cages, and I designed the whole thing.
Wow!
Yeah,
Robin,
and they go into these go-go cages, and then they dance. And here's the great part. So I remember when
this
I did
this is already
the great part is
yeah,
that
great.
They're so people are so distracted.
Well, that
they lose money like crazy.
Read my mind. Yeah. So the whole thing is when I did the deal with them, I said, "Here's an idea. Let's do Pussycat Dolls Casino," which they brought to me. They wanted to do, and I said. We will have girls dancing in go-go cages while people are gambling, especially the guys and the girls. So they're looking, they're distracted, losing money. Concept that they never, no one ever did it.
Yeah.
yeah.
So they were
distract the players.
And now you go into all these other hotels
and
they're
all
have,
distracting.
Well, yeah. they have the bad versions.
Oh, interesting. But you
right.
that's a really great concept.
It is.
Distract the people playing the game.
Exactly.
So they make poor choices.
Yes.
Right.
People are
they
hitting on 20.
Done where you walk
30.
Up and throw a glass of water
yeah.
in your face and people didn't care for that.
But here's the funny part. So when I go to the casino, it's so fun. I love it. And I have a huge merchandise wall, like giant
yeah,
that's
sure,
like
sure.
we sell all the hot, sexy stuff. And, you know,
yeah.
but then like sweatpants and all kinds of fun things,
yeah.
right? Sunglasses.
Sweatpants.
Yeah. Yeah. Hot, right?
Yeah.
What is your lingerie about? You do have lingerie.
I do. I'm actually wearing.
Adorable.
I can't see it. There
oh,
it is.
How beautiful. Wow.
That's,
she's showing us a super sexy bra.
That
you guys,
is a super
this
sexy
is the
bra.
Hottest story
that
has ever gotten.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Right. Oddly enough, I'm wearing the same bra. But that's
yes.
I call it the man's ear.
How many pieces of clothing are in the line?
Well, this is actually a new concept and a new collection that I'm working on that is based more on, it's actually for like a smaller, it's not for, before I did bras that were like more padded and more for
right.
like, you know, a bigger boob look.
Va-va-voom.
Right.
A va-va-voom look. Now
right.
I'm more into like the little lacy, sexy sort of like, you know, not put no push up.
Like an American
I just personally,
right.
like an American,
yeah, simple. You know what I
but
mean?
You're talking about women who don't really have breasts. I mean, and you're talking about like high school kids.
Well, this is, I mean, do I have breasts?
I have no idea.
I'm looking at
also, I don't see color. I don't know.
Do I have boobs?
Honest, would like
I do.
This show to go on for another hour.
I mean,
another
I'm not
hour
flat.
And a half. Yes, you do
okay,
have breasts.
Okay, so. That,
fine.
If I can wear it, and then I mean, Sarah, no, my assistant, has boobs. And
okay,
you,
okay.
Let me see your boobs. Christine, let me see. You have boobs.
We got to keep it on the DL.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. Oh,
this is being a story-centric show.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Listen, thank you so much for coming by today.
By the way, I just have to say, I'm sorry. The thing at the end, in all other casinos, when the dealer finishes, he goes... Claps his hands and puts his hands
That's
up. But they clap their ass. They slap their ass.
They do.
They walk away from the table. They indicate they're done with their shit.
No, you're right. They go slap, slap.
Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable. Oh.
And
I just made that up. Is that true?
Well, no. I think that I stole that move from you.
Great.
I think we need to bring burlesque into storytelling. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I know somebody who's actually getting into the burlesque scene here in L.A. There's like a revival of...
Yes, there is. And guess who started it back in the day?
Sexy, yeah. But it's also... Yeah, you started...
I mean, like, I started the research.
Yes, no, yeah, it's like... No, I know somebody. Her stage name is Bo Toxic.
What?
I don't know about that. It's supposed to be funny.
I mean, it's like half. It's half funny.
Well, it can be funny.
It's fun. It's like sexy slash funny burlesque.
There's
it's
not funny.
There's an attempt to be serious.
I see.
Well, there's
I'm saying the whole dance style. It's
a
like
playfulness.
They're being,
there's a
yeah,
playfulness.
They're being,
yes. I always had my
being ridiculous.
My concept always had a little bit of like tongue in cheek humor.
Yeah.
Tied to it.
And we're all in on this. It's not just the men are watching the women, but the women are watching the women.
Exactly.
We all want to be, we all have an inner pussycat doll.
All of us. But I, okay, yes. No, we do. And you do. And I'm going to bring it out of you.
Oh my gosh.
But I want to, I need to add this one little piece that I think you guys are going to love back to the casino really quick. And you can tie this in anywhere. But when I go to the casino, okay, you're gonna love this. I go and I'm looking around and I'm so happy and I walk and then I do this thing. Sarah knows, my assistant. I sneak in, right? Okay, so it's all open.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Anybody can walk. Everyone's walking
through.
Sure, but when I go, I wear, like, a hat. I make sure that...
Undercover boss.
So the girls don't see me, the dancers, right? Well, 9 times out of 10, they are literally, like, chewing gum.
And they're bored.
Walking around. Uh-huh. Like, and I'm like...
You bitch,
right?
Say it.
Yeah.
It'll be so hot, dearie.
You got to start shaking your butt.
Right, and I'm like,
you
know, so I go like this, I'm head down, and they're just like this. Then all of a sudden, I look up, and you should see the look on their faces. They go, and then all of a sudden, the leg goes up. I have that effect on women as well. The twerking.
No, yeah, right.
But like, I mean, literally, like, it just, they go nuts. And then all of a sudden, they're dancing their asses off, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kill you. But, you know.
Yeah,
it's a part of the whole thing, but the answer to that is just don't be lazy. How about
that? Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, like as your business and to walk in, I don't know, maybe it's perhaps delegating a better manager who's walking around doing what
you are
doing.
So right.
I mean, because
absolutely.
It should be being done.
Because
and if
that's
getting
your
paid
job.
Well,
it's like you coming in here and going like, hi. Yeah.
Right.
You know
so
what I mean?
Words, like that should be solved.
Right?
That can be solved.
But yeah, there should be somebody that you're, you know, somebody besides you ought to.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we have amazing girls.
Yeah.
You know,
I get it. But listen, Robin, Hannes and I are going to clear this whole thing up for you.
Exactly.
Hannes and I are going to come in and we're going to figure this all out.
Yes, please.
I am going to teach these girls what for.
You teach them how to move.
I'm going to come in with big giant, I'm going to be like Elliot Gould in Ocean's 11. Big giant sunglasses. And a cigar.
He's all right, you
girls,
got a cigar.
Back in my day.
Oh my God, I love
remember.
It. You're going to be in the movie with Jennifer Lopez.
Yes, I like it.
All right, we should let
Christine bring the show to an end.
We got to wrap.
I know, right?
I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network for helping us out today, including Sean Merrick, and of course our beautiful sound girl over there, Maria Spertolozzi. Who
yes,
I love to death.
A pussycat
thank you.
Girl
pink
in
hair.
The, in the
she
making.
Is a pussycat recording girl for
Seriously.
Sure. And of course, on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
He did. And he was wearing a leather thong when he did it.
Oh, he's a pussycat boy.
That's right. And on behalf of you, our storyteller, Robin Anton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You were just a delight.
Oh,
and
my God.
You were just, wow, you got it going on.
I appreciate
so
it.
So excited. Thank you.
It was so fun. And I'll see you guys Monday night in my dance class.
That's it.
I just made you nervous.
You're a jet all the way cigarette.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend, and Tony from The West Side Story, my name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.